a Rayo original podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, hello. Welcome to the best podcast you're going to hear this week. People cross the road when they see me coming.
Yes, they do, don't they?
No.
Not like that.
That's a bad sign.
They cross the road to come and talk to me.
Towards you.
Yeah. They cross the road when they see me to cross the road to have a conversation.
To tell me
that this is their favourite podcast.
Yeah. There you go.
Not only that, but they think it's the biggest podcast in the world.
Well, we know that for a fact because you said it so many times. So
that's true.
It's fine.
Sister Susie is the one who's doing all the sighing.
Yeah,
and
that's me.
Fact correction.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Matt speaks from his gutter, obviously.
I do. Yeah.
Sister Holly is not guarding the cupboard of tap because she's gone on holiday. Selfish, I think.
Yeah.
Not signed off by me.
Does that mean that the tap cupboard is unguarded?
It is.
Yeah.
Can we go and have a rummage?
Help ourselves!
Yeah. I'm going to go and get a mug to take home.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
signed picture of myself.
Quite exciting.
Give it to my wife.
Is that Christmas sorted?
It is. That's
wow.
done.
Yep. Oh, such a treat.
Lots of love.
Best wishes.
It's already on there.
I can't imagine that. Best wishes. Best wishes.
It would go down so well.
Oh, it would, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she'd love that.
Yes.
Okay, so coming up, we're going to be stopping by the parish notice board. Obviously, take a quick detour for the not-for-broadcast section. And, of course, all the fabulous confessions from this week's Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, including Malcolm's waterbed tale, Come Hell or High Water, Vera's reproductive regret, Don't Know Much Biology, Hugo's confession, 10 green bottles and 5 little ducks. But first, let's grab an umbrella for Pamela's honeymoon antics. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Pamela. Thanks, Pam. Dear Simon and Co, just over 40 years ago, I married my lovely husband, Les. We now feel that the time is right to ask for forgiveness for something that happened on our honeymoon. At the time, I was working for a lovely man called Derek, who owned a couple of apartments in Marbella, and he very kindly offered us one for our honeymoon. It was an incredible gift, and to keep the cost down even further, we decided to drive down to southern Spain. Soon after our lovely wedding day, we caught the ferry to France and set off on our honeymoon adventure. We planned a couple of overnight stops at campsites from a book. No mobile phones, obviously no internet, no sat-nav. We just looked at the book and we ordered them that way.
Yeah.
We shared the driving and got as far as Bordeaux the first night. We found the campsite just off the auto route. And as it was out of season, the owners told us that there was only one toilet block open and told us to camp anywhere. We were the only guests. The site was basic, but in a lovely pine forest. Many listeners will recall what a basic French toilet was like
yes.
40 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah.
We pitched our tent not too far from the open facilities, and as soon as the tent was up, we went to inspect the said toilets.
Okay.
There was the usual toilet and shower, cold water only, it's France. Don't know why that. And next door, a large room with sinks and draining boards down two sides for our washing up.
Ah.
As we got ready to go to bed, the weather turned rather wet, so we huddled down in our cozy tent for a good night's sleep before another day of driving. Unfortunately, the weather deteriorated with torrential rain, thunder and lightning, very, very frightening, which turned into an electrical storm.
Oh, no.
Very common, apparently, in this part of France. The trees were blowing and we were so frightened we were going to get squashed by falling trees. Bearing in mind how shallow-rooted the pine trees are. You must always remember that.
Yes, the shallow roots of the pine trees,
yes.
I do.
Yeah. I didn't
time.
Even know that was true, but anyway, that's what we're told. At about 2 a.m., we'd had enough, and my husband suggested we take our sleeping bags, drive to the toilet block, and see if we can get any sleep there. So we rushed to the car and bundled in our sleeping bags and valuables and parked as close as we could and then ran to the washing-up block. As it was a concrete floor, we decided it would be a good idea to get into our sleeping bags and then lie on top of the counters. This was not easy as we both had those mummy-shaped sleeping bags that taper in down near your feet, so we had to wriggle into them and then hitch ourselves up onto the counter with our arms still firmly wedged inside the sleeping bag. Anyway, we finally got as comfortable as we could when the...
yeah! go on.
And then the power went off.
Oh, right. Well, there you go.
But it was France. It was it's the old days.
Oh, was it 40 years
Fourth
ago?
Fourth Republic or something. It was pitch black and we were a bit freaked out. We fell asleep eventually, but I was suddenly awoken by a blood-curdling scream. My husband was shouting, "I've fallen down a hole!"
What?
The worktop underneath him had collapsed. "I think I'm in a well!" Actually, he was headfirst in the inside of a hidden cupboard under the draining board, still with his arms pinned inside his sleeping bag. I had to get out of my sleeping bag, find him in the dark, no power, it's France, and try to pull him up and out of the cupboard. Not easy in the pitch black with him screaming and me laughing so much that it hurt. I managed to rescue him. He said he could have been headfirst in a well, as far as anyone knew, and French wells were notorious.
Notorious for
being wellish.
Yeah.
You don't want to fall down.
French wells.
If I'm going to fall down a well, I want to fall down a British well.
Yes,
I don't want
of
a French
course.
One. Anyway, I knew it was just a cupboard. So we got ourselves together and the security lights came back on and we could actually see the carnage that was once the kitchen counter. Horrified but still scared of the storm, we decided to drive back to the tent and try and sleep in the car. Needless to say, we didn't get much sleep and as soon as it was first light, we packed up our tent and gear and quickly left. We did feel terrible the next day about not staying and explaining what had happened to the owners, but A, we couldn't afford to pay for the damage that we caused, and B, our school French wasn't really up to the task. So we hoped they'd just put it down to rotting wood and nothing,
that's yeah.
Nothing to do with us. So we seek forgiveness from the campsite owners, if they're still alive, okay, for ruining their kitchen top and leaving them without telling them. But in our defence, we were young, in love, and we didn't have a lot of money to pay for repairs. Also, the kitchen counter must have been rotten and in danger of collapsing, so we probably did them a favour, highlighting a problem. It could have been a whole lot worse. Imagine if a whole family had disappeared into the cupboard.
Yeah, why would the family
why would
be
the whole
on the draining
on
board?
The cupboard?
We had a lovely honeymoon and have enjoyed 40-plus happy years together. My husband has often retold this story, making much of him nearly dying on our honeymoon after falling headfirst down a mine shaft. Which wasn't really quite the story as far as I recall.
Very good.
Anyway, what a story from a honeymoon as well. Sister Suze, what do you say to Pamela?
Well, Pamela, just the image of both of you basically looking like caterpillars on top of a cupboard is very, very funny. But it is, who sleeps on a cupboard? What if you turned over and fallen off completely?
I know, it sounds like a ludicrous idea, doesn't it?
Danger, danger.
Definitely.
High voltage, I would say here. I just don't think it was very safe and you proved it. And also just not admitting to it as well. That's just not good. And I don't know what a family would be doing on top of a kitchen cupboard to save them from the danger. Yeah. So I don't buy that at all. So no, Pamela, I'm not going to forgive you.
Brother Matthew,
just slept in the car.
What do you say to Pamela?
Yes, I'm definitely going to forgive because that is that's the funniest we've had for a while. Very, very good. I've been on campsites where it's really started raining, and my thought has never been, quick kids, let's go to the toilets and hope that they've got a draining board that we can sleep on and maybe fall into the sink. Get straight into the car. Get straight into the car. You were in the car. It was there. And then you decide to get out of the car and sleep on a draining board. Yes, I'm going to forgive. But very, very funny. Well done.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
It wasn't quite a draining board, but it was that...
It was in the kitchen, wasn't it? It was a bit next to the sink. Yeah.
It was the top that they could do their washing on. So it was basins and then wooden bits.
But even so,
uncomfortable and not a draining board.
Yeah. You're not going to sleep on a kitchen cabinet, are you?
That's a bit... What if you... I mean,
how do you even get up?
But you also turn over in your sleep.
Exactly.
That's going to be...
Danger.
French toilets, I mean...
It's moved on a little since then.
It's moved on a bit, but when was it ever okay just to have a hole in the ground?
Well, for a time.
It wasn't.
I've never been to a French toilet
campsite.
Really?
A hole in the ground.
Wow, it's a whole experience, that one.
You think, is this a shower? Where's the,
exactly. You do genuinely think there's obviously been some mistake. And so you go into a different cubicle and you're like,
there's obviously
they've taken all of the toilets?
What? Are you supposed to aim?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No.
Anyway, at least they got a bit of civilization in there in the last couple of decades.
Yes.
Anyway, right, let's take a little pause and check out the parish notice board. Matt has been finding all the reviews that sort of put him in a good light.
Yes, écoutez et répétez, five-star reviews. And the first one comes from Ellie Cup One. Five stars. Love it when my phone pings to tell a new episode is ready. It's like a little end of week treat. More accents though, please, from Father Simon. I'm quite sure no one would be offended. 10 out of 10.
Well,
kiss.
Can I just explain? Also, that's quite good, Ellie Cup One.
Yes.
Because Matt doesn't get any reference to that.
No, no, that's a,
but also, the reason why the accents don't happen very often, one is I'm not very good at them.
Come, surely
what?
Not.
No.
And the other,
I won't have that.
And all the okay.
You are very good.
Also, I don't want to be any more annoying. You know, so if you're no,
we have that. We've had accents this week. There's accents in this week's confessions, aren't there?
Yeah, there are some accents that are acceptable, but there are some accents.
Yes,
that
did,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
didn't do a Scottish one.
No, because I can't.
No,
so I don't want to even try and then annoy people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It would be funny, though, just for us. Five stars, says Anna Marie, normal name. Dear Father Simon, Brother Matt, and Sisters Susie and Holly, firstly, I'd like to say I love your podcast, and I give it 5 stars.
Ooh.
I've only recently discovered it. My husband, Simon, who's been a long-time fan, got me onto it. I am currently going thorough the back catalogue and can't help myself chuckling, even if my work colleagues think I am crazy. I love Matt's forgiving ways. And Sister Susie and Holly's stern, non-forgiving ways.
Oh, nice. Mm.
Simon's accents, again, make the confessions just amazing. Anna Marie goes on to say, as I said earlier, my husband Simon is a huge fan of yours, and the Drive Time Show is the best part of his long journey home.
Yes.
We have been married for 9 years this year. Together for 13,
wow.
Yes. And I would, well, obviously, and I would love for you to send a signed mug for me to gift him for this special day. Continued on next page. Can I also request a signed postcard from all of the Holy Collective for myself?
I mean, much.
Pushing your luck now. So I can put it pride of place on my fridge. If only one thing can be sent, can I have the mug for my husband?
Do you want the shirt off
standing?
My back
oh
as well?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to read this review. I can't wait to continue my listening of your wonderful podcast and Drive Time Show. Kind regards, Anne Marie Peacock.
We don't sign mugs, do we? We sign postcards and
yeah,
then
no,
we
no.
hand out mugs.
So it's a mug with a picture, with like a little artist picture of your face,
yes.
And then a postcard that we've all signed.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I
those
can't
the
combine
rules.
That. Because like no. we could write on the mug with a Sharpie, but it probably wouldn't last.
No,
so,
no,
yeah.
We're not doing that. But thanks anyway, Anne Marie Peacock.
I think I might send her a mug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going, well, yeah, Holly's not here. We can do what we want.
Exactly.
Do what we want. People should have emailed in this week because you get what you want this week.
Yep,
yeah.
We can just
yeah.
help. And then she'll arrive and she'll undo the padlock top and bottom,
and
think, what on earth has happened here? And contact marketing for extra budget, which we won't get.
We won't get.
Susie, what have you got from the notice board?
From the notice board, I have an email from Andrew, which says, to Father Simon, Prime Minister Matt, Sisters Holly and Susie, and whomever else this email needs to impress, listening to the podcast with the confession about the 9-year-old and the socks and a light fitting.
Oh, yes. Yes, so throwing the things
throwing
into the light fitting.
The things into, like, basketball.
Uh-huh.
It reminded me of a time back in 2018 when our son Ethan was 5. I won't write a long confession, as I believe I have more chance of winning the lottery without buying a ticket than having this read out on primetime radio.
Well, I don't think you've got a fine understanding of odds.
But we were having a laugh and a joke with Ethan in our bedroom, and he was giggling away full of smiles. We had a very fancy light fitting directly above the bed, so I, 38 at the time, thought it would be hilarious to try and throw my underpants onto the light fitting.
That'd be funny.
Okay, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Usually I'm the world's worst shot, but it landed perfectly. Ethan laughed his head off. Mum wasn't so pleased I was teaching our son bad habits, so I stood on the bed to retrieve the underpants. The bed was only about 6 weeks old. I heard a crack, followed quickly by several more before my body fell through the bed frame.
Well, I mean, come on. A bed should be able to put up with it. It's literally a person on the bed. That's what the bed is made for. How is that? That's a very poorly constructed
bed. Well, he says, I then complained to the bed store and had the slats replaced after much arguing.
There you go.
So
he had to argue his point. Yeah.
So he's saying, please forgive me. Ethan has never forgotten this and often brings it back into conversation. Great show. Kind regards, Andrew.
Yes.
All right, well, Andrew, thanks very much. I mean, there is something inherently funny about chucking a underpants over a chandelier.
Yeah. Yes, yes, no, that's true.
Like, if it was a fan, it'd be quite, like, if they got them on the fan.
Oh, yeah, you got to get
round.
It through the fan. Yeah, oh, now that, fun. Yeah, there
that
is
would actually
challenge.
Be, that
yeah,
would be
yeah.
quite dangerous though, wouldn't it?
Yes.
What, throwing underpants through a fan, that's fine.
Yeah, well, if it caught on the fan and then burst into flames.
Oh, right, if it burst into flames.
Because that's what naturally
happens.
The whole
happens. Bed collapsed.
It would get tangled, it would get tangled in the
train
machine.
Going through the bedroom window.
The fan would go around really, 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 yeah. really fast.
Really
and then,
fast.
And then all of a sudden...
yeah.
And then, it got tangled up in the machinery, burst
yes,
into
it
flames.
Burst into flames. But they're only pants, they're not going to burn for very long, are they? Do pants burn? I'm not sure.
Depends.
Yeah, they do.
Depends how big they are.
Do pants burn? Google says yes, they do.
If you have bloomers.
Bloomers. Bloomers burn. I'll check. Hang on. Bloomers. Bloomers also burn.
It's pyjamas that have to be safety regged, isn't it?
But big knickers are
big
dangerous.
Knickers, right. Okay.
Just saying.
Burning big knickers.
Oh, there's a code phrase.
There
right
it is. Yes, yeah, someone write that down.
Keep your additions to the parish notice board coming, please. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions to Dave Barrett, definitely a bot. Elaine Gwith, is it definitely a bot, a person's name?
Yes. Okay. The right. account is called Definitely a Bot.
Mm-hmm. All right. Elaine Gwith, Janine Moore, Martin Woolley and Steve Jenkins, who were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from the last podcast, which was, of course, helium in my condoms.
Yes. Mm. I got a few of those as well. Yeah. Thanks
yeah,
for
good.
That.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, well, you need to carry some of the burden.
Yeah, you do.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast, even if we might know what it is already.
We already know what it is, yeah.
So it's getting dark and the candles are lit, so time to head into the Not For Broadcast Mark Knopfler section where true horror awaits. Starting with you, Timothy. After a long drive home with your sleeping daughter, it was honourable that you didn't want to leave her asleep in the car while you nipped out to relieve yourself, obviously. But let's be honest, finding yourself caught short on the doorstep and not making it inside in time was... a new low. Plus, your wallet and phone got so soggy you had to make an insurance claim. I'm not sure.
Why is the wallet and phone getting soggy?
They must have been in his trousers. So he was carrying. Was he carrying the child in?
He's carrying the child in, and then I think was so desperate to go to the toilet that then and then relaxed.
There is a thing called. There is a thing apparently called latchkey incontinence, which is. The idea that, you know, you hold it together, but as soon as you get the key in the door, it's like...
It's a sign from the brain, goes, oh, we're all okay now.
I can't...
Yeah,
As Cat Stevens once said, I can't keep it in.
Yes, he did.
I've got to let it out. Yeah. I've got to tell the world
also,
that my wallet is soggy.
He didn't have a washing machine at the time, so he just washed them in the sink.
Well, that's what you do when you're... that's what I do with my crockery. No need for a washing machine there. But back in
you
the...
You don't have a washing machine.
No, we do have a washing machine. I'm just saying with the crockery, I don't need a dishwasher.
Yeah. Dishwasher and washing machines are different, aren't they? They are.
They can double up.
You can
put plates and cutlery in a washing machine.
I'm absolutely
don't,
not
don't,
sure
Don't
that's
try
the
that
case.
At home.
Can you not?
Yes. No.
How about putting clothes in a dishwasher?
I'm sure that would be fine, wouldn't it? I mean, it's water.
No, it might have a swirly thing.
It's got a swirly thing.
And it might
tangle
up
burst into flames
with your burning big knickers.
If you put bloomers in a washing machine.
Don't put bloomers in the dishwasher.
Does anyone wear bloomers anymore?
I'm sure there must be some call for them. Maybe, I don't know. I'm going to look up. M&S bloomers. Yes. Yeah, no, they've got them on.
How long are they? They're like knee length?
Yeah, I'm sure they're pretty big. Or else they don't qualify. I don't know where I'm going.
Don't qualify as bloomers.
I'm sure this
there
is
are some things
out.
That you're not supposed to look up on a work computer.
No, definitely don't do that. Oh my goodness.
Underpants is probably one of them.
Yeah, it's fine.
Also, we're still not for broadcasting
here.
Oh,
no.
Gary, we know living with a housemate can be tricky at times, but no matter how horrible they were, cutting your toenails... and adding it to their leftovers in the fridge.
It's quite funny.
That's just disgusting. Can you imagine getting one of that in your mouth?
My favourite one of those was a confession we did a few years ago, which was... husband and wife coming which way round it is, but yes. They're watching television and one of them is cutting their toenails and they've got a bag of crisps on the go
yes.
and then puts the...
It was her who was putting the stuff in the crisps, yeah.
But there were just some, the you know, the kind of really tasty crumbs down at the bottom.
Yeah.
So she wasn't going to have those. So put her toenails in the crisp packet. And then husband said, give me those. I like the odds and ends. So then tips it all up into his mouth. So he gets all the salty bits plus his wife's toenails. That kind of thing. Anyway, so Gary, you know, you've got a way to go before you're that disgusting, I think. Anyway, back to the confessions that made it onto the show. Malcolm's tale, come hell or high water.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Malcolm. That's what he wants to be called anyway. Father Simon and the Collective of Forgiveness, my story goes back to the early 1980s when two recently qualified nurses, let's call them Monica and Jocelyn, took a trip to the land down under and spent a year in and around Sydney. Now, it's worth noting, for reasons that become clear later, that Sydney in 1982 was a less sophisticated place than the vibrant international city that now presents itself to the world. The local level of TV advertising, for example, was along the Brentford Nylon style.
Oh, wow.
Ask your grandparents. With a number of local businessmen becoming quite well known from appearances in their own productions. Now, it's at times like this, Simon, that I often pause to reflect on how few of your confessions start with, I had just enjoyed a delicious salad. And true to the medium, so it came to pass that our two heroines went out for an evening and began in the early 80s style with many cocktails, enjoying the inevitable point later in the evening where hunger got the better of thirst and a delicious Chinese meal seemed to be the order of the day. While sitting at their table for two, the young nurses attracted the attention of a group of gentlemen on an evening out of their own, and eventually it transpired that they were the owners and management of a well-known local furniture emporium that might still exist, so we'll change its name, an emporium that was well-known for its local budget TV advertising campaigns. As luck would have it, one of the owners was Scottish, and he instigated the conversation, at which point our girls spotted him from his many starring roles in such classics as... And here's it. Time for the accent, Simon.
Oh, yes.
No,
here we go.
It's not.
No, oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's Summer Madness at Daly and McDoad. And good day, it's McDoad from Daly and McDoad. You'll have to get up early to catch a better bargain than a new waterbed from Daly and McDoad. I hope you enjoyed the accent there.
Yeah.
This last one was for some reason delivered on a bicycle as he cycled along the Parramatta Road in a kilt. So two more chairs were duly moved from the girls' table to the gentlemen's, and the first of several more drinks were consumed. As the evening progressed, Monica struck up a rapport with the not-Scottish co-owner and was being regaled in a generic Australian accent with tales of furniture that would make a girl's head swim. Listen, mate, waterbeds, they're the absolute best thing.
Cool, we are in the
summer,
getting the accent.
Comfortable, relaxing. What do you mean you never tried one? Wow. It was the 80s. Well, a little later that evening, broke up and most of the party went their separate ways. Monica and her newfound friend, who we'll call Bruce, decided to carry on and develop their burgeoning relationship. He invited her back to their showroom, because he was a classy chap, to demonstrate the veracity of his words about the waterbed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came to pass that after a short taxi ride at 1:30 in the morning, they found themselves getting along famously in the waterbed section of a relatively well-known for Sydney furniture shop. It was while they were enjoying an energetic game of Cluedo that there was a sudden shriek of sirens, a hammering on the doors, blue and red lights providing a disco pattern across the windows, and what seemed like half of New South Wales police, who remember are armed, in the car park.
Oh, boy.
Listen, mate, we're armed police. Come out with your hands up. Mate.
Mate, yeah.
Came the authoritative-sounding commands. Ray Winston may have been... Oh, okay.
Oh no!
Oh!
Come on, police, come out with your hands up. You wait here. You wait here, mate. I'll go and sort this one out, says Bruce. And off he goes, pulling on his shirt and trousers because it's very hot at nighttime in Sydney.
Of course it is, with the Cluedo.
Shortly to return, looking very sheepish and admitting that in their eagerness to investigate the rules of Cluedo, he'd neglected to set the alarm to safe, causing the infrared detectors to pick up their vigorous Cluedo moves and sent a silent alert to the local police station. Expecting the worst, they turned up in force, so interrupted the beginnings of a blossoming friendship. New South Wales' finest were quickly placated. In fact, they seemed to find it all hilarious. The happy couple had to leave the shop at 6 a.m. to avoid being further disturbed by the cleaners opening up, but safe to say, they resumed their Cluedo session in the interim. Father Simon, I do not seek forgiveness from Bruce, for I'm sure he enjoyed himself as... can't read that. And he's probably... and then Malcolm says he's probably dead now anyway.
Oh, right.
I do not seek forgiveness from the New South Wales State Police because I'm sure the same story is in someone's memoirs or at very least have been recounted around the police barbie every year. I do not even seek forgiveness from the people that may have bought the waterbeds because they all had the... Okay, we'll leave that. Instead, I beg forgiveness from my two children, now aged 34 and 32, who may never look at their mother in the same way again when they hear this and realise that she had a life before they came along, and all in all, it was quite an interesting life. Oh yes, and forgiveness from my wife for telling her story to the wider radio audience. We've been married for over 40 years and she's been quite simply the best friend, wife and partner. I think it's going to work now, Malcolm.
No, not enough.
So I'm sure she'll see the funny side of this.
No.
But just in case she doesn't, for the purposes of this email, my name is Malcolm. Well, okay. I mean, I think I think, as the kids say, it's her story to tell, Malcolm. But anyway, Malcolm has stepped in and told it on her behalf. Suze, what do you say to Malcolm?
Well, I don't forgive Malcolm. It definitely is her story to tell, and I'm sure she wouldn't necessarily want her children knowing all of the ins and outs of what happened before they came along. And I can't believe he didn't even ask her before he sent it in. This is just... Oh, I can't... No, don't forgive him, Malcolm. Not at all.
It's a shocker, Malcolm. Brother Matthew says...
I'm going to forgive. My instinct is Monica's very happy to share the story. She strikes me as great fun, and all those things are fine. I also going to forgive because of the accents. We did get some accents in there,
well,
eventually.
Yeah.
So that's all fine. It strikes me as it was so far so good. So for that reason... I'm going to forgive.
So far, so good.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, it's tired.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
So you had a little joke.
I did have a little joke there, didn't I? Yeah.
By saying, but you pronounced it wrong.
So far, so good. That's the phrase.
It has to be so far, so good.
So far, so good is the phrase, though. So far, so good doesn't make any sense.
But then it obviously...
But then that's the point, isn't it?
I think we all know who the person in the room that knows about puns is.
I think we do.
So oh, yes!
I think we do.
Yes.
I think we do.
I think we all know.
I think we all know.
So I think we do.
Anyway, still to come, it's a confession all about the reproductive system. I know. It's Vera's confession, don't know much biology. But first, it's Hugo's confession, which is called 10 Green Bottles and 5 Little Ducks.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Okay, so today's confession comes from Hugo. All right, Hugo. Hi, Simon. Are you taking
already,
against him?
Already.
Yeah, Matt doesn't like him.
Hi, Simon and afternoon drinking friends.
Well, oh, hello.
This confession goes back to a time when the lottery numbers were shown on Saturday night on television. Probably around 1995, as they were not yet on the lottery website. I believe you were part of this TV rigmarole a few years later, Father Simon, and I'm sure that if you had been involved in this story, everything would have been fine. But you weren't, so it wasn't.
Ah.
There's sort of the implication here from Hugo is that this is my fault. But anyway, I'm Hugo and my wife, Lottie, used to sit in front of the TV... Matt,
that's
just a name. Also, not real names. They've all been made up.
Oh, you've made them up, of course.
No,
yeah, sorry.
Hugo has made his name up and Lottie has made her name up.
Yeah.
I'm Hugo. My wife, Lottie, used to sit in front of the television to excitedly check her numbers every Saturday night and was always disappointed to find out when she hadn't won, which was every week. On this particular night, we were out, so we missed the live number call on television. But later in the evening, we turned on the TV and switched on to CFAX. Now, for Sister Holly and similar, this was a teletext service you could select page by page so you could read the information. I think the news headlines was 101.
Yeah.
And sport was 302.
302, yeah.
And with you could get results. Holidays.
Could you? What
you could
number
get holidays
was that?
On CFAX. I don't remember. But I know you can get holidays on there.
I mean, those were the days.
Yeah.
Dial a disc. So different technology.
Yeah, different. Yeah.
So we were using CFAX to check up on the lottery numbers, but I thought this week I'll change things and add a little excitement to make her a happy woman this Saturday night. So what I did was I stood behind her so I could see the screen and her lottery ticket in her hand at the same time and said that I would call out the numbers so she could keep her eyes on the ticket. What I did, though, obviously, was I called out the numbers from her lottery ticket in her hand and not from the television screen. And it wasn't long before she was convinced that all her numbers were jackpot winning numbers. Well, you know that Gemma Atkinson moment?
Oh, yes.
When she rings on a Friday after five to say, "You've won all that money," or "Make me a winner." And then the recipient of the call weeps, goes crazy, and says their life is transformed. Well, it was like that, but much more so. Much more. For about 5 minutes of glory, screams and hugs, she went absolutely crazy, saying she couldn't believe it and how generous she was going to be to friends and family and charities and the homeless and all the needy of the world. We would move house, get 3 cars, go on a cruise and live sophisticated lives. "Oh, Hugo," she said, "isn't this such a wonderful day?" At this point, I realised that this was only going to get worse. So I said, Lottie, maybe not. And I had to explain what I'd done before she started making phone calls to the lottery people to claim her cash. It did not go down well. I thought a murder was going to happen and thought that I was going to be the victim. I have never seen her so mad. You know those cartoons where furious people have steam coming out of their ears? Well, it was that. And as I recall, there was actual steam coming from her actual ears, alongside spittle from her mouth, tears from her eyes, and a runny nose. So I definitely need to ask forgiveness. Also, by the way, from her, from my brother, my sister, and their children, who were with me on the night and who also believed me, thinking that their lives were about to change forever, because obviously they would be the recipients of all this generosity from Lottie, because she's just won a fortune. So, of course, you would say, nephew, niece, here's 100 quid or something like that. Not that that's very generous if you just won a few.
£100, I was going to say.
100 quid, is that it?
Is that it?
It's like a gift token. Thanks very much. Anyway, forgiveness from them, and because they were with me on the night and who also believed me, thinking their lives would change too before I finally told them. In truth, they were a little amused at the time. I think the word little there is working quite hard.
Really,
but my wife most definitely was not. My wife has actually never forgiven me for this wind-up, but I would like her to now. As the good book says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Just remember that, dear Lottie, before you huff and puff. Forgive and forget. Let's not reach the day of judgment with this small matter unforgiven. Lots of love, Hugo, not my real name. There you go. So you can't take against him for his name.
No, you can take against him for everything else. Very derelict.
It's not Hugo and it's not Lottie, but it'll do for the moment.
Oh, Hugo.
But I mean, it's just... I mean, I think it's unforgivable. Myself, what do you say, Suze?
Well, yeah, a wind-up. Like, what did you think was going to happen, Hugo? It's just not even fun. She spent all of that money in her head in, like, the 30 seconds. Wouldn't anyone do the same? I don't understand what you got out of it other than just being just stupid. Stupid is what you are, and for that reason, I don't forgive you.
I wonder if Gemma Atkinson has ever rung someone up and said, "You..." Only joking. I don't think so. No. Brother Matthew.
I mean, is it really that bad? I'm going to forgive, because, you know, I mean, I can see myself doing that and it being very amusing. And then, you know, and then everyone realises it's just a joke and we can all laugh it off.
So you think Mrs. Williams would
absolutely
find that hilarious?
I don't think she would. I find it very funny.
And I think they all did. They all look back on it now, don't they, and laugh.
No, she doesn't.
Lottie, perhaps she doesn't look back on it and laugh. Maybe she will do now, though. She'll do it now. I think Lottie's at home listening to this going, "Do you know what? Actually, I've had this all wrong. Hugo, not your real name." And I think it's all very funny now. So, yeah, for all those reasons, live and let live, forgive and forget, and what it says in the Bible, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Vera. Vera, thank you very much indeed for this tale. "Father Simon, Brother Matthew and the Sisters of Mercy, I take you back to the 1950s in the Yorkshire Dales. My school was a catch-all for boys and girls, mainly from farming communities. Mr. Butler, the man in charge of education at the time, had recently declared that children should stay on at school until 15 years of age instead of leaving at 14. This is the first mention of Rab Butler on the confession spot for a long time.
Yeah.
The majority of boys in my class didn't take this very well because they wanted to be working on the farm with their fathers and brothers. Different times. They were quietly mutinous. Quietly, as corporal punishment was still allowed and the cane was always close at hand. Into this febrile situation pops up Miss Goodling, spinster of this parish and tasked with teaching us biology and religious education. An interesting combination.
Yeah, wow.
There had been a recent change in the curriculum for biology, and added to the life cycle of the frog and plant etiology, which is the causes and origins of plants, because I had to look that
up.
Of
course, yeah.
There was a need to explain the reproductive system of plants, animals, and humans. She excelled at the plants section, and we spent many a lesson colouring in different flowers and trees. When the time came for the human reproductive system, her courage failed her. Seeing the goggle eyes of 20-some teenage lads, suppressing laughter and some leers, she balked. She asked Ronald, a quiet, not too bright, but talkative lad, about the life cycle of pigs.
What?
This created a lively discussion on the care and naming of pigs that all the farm lads really enjoyed because they knew stuff about that.
Pigs,
yeah. There you go.
Easily distracted. Human reproduction was forgotten, and Miss Goodling could be seen to breathe a sigh of relief. I looked around at the rest of us females and could see that we were all a bit fed up. We wanted to talk about babies, love and marriage, and even wanted to know what happened after the smouldering kiss we saw on the films. I couldn't stop myself, and I stood and raised my hand determinedly.
Oh, dear.
What about humans, miss? What about humans? What happens there, I say, hating myself as soon as I saw the fear in her eyes and her face go crimson.
Oh, no.
There was a rush of suppressed mirth from the lads, and she banged down her desk lid. She said, I advise you should ask your parents about that. I don't know if she spoke like she was in the royal family, but anyway, that's the way I did it.
Yep.
And she finished the lesson early. We had an early break. She went off sick for 2 weeks. The substitute teacher was Mr. Masters, an ex-squaddy, recently demobbed from the army. He firmly believed in equal opportunities. Girls, too, could be the recipients of a whack on the hand with a ruler. It's the 50s.
It is. Mm. It's very much. Yeah.
We were really pleased to see Miss Goodling back when she did make it back, and we continued with lessons of colouring plants. However, she was never quite the same again. She flinched any time a hand was raised to ask a question, and she developed a tick in her left eye. Was this my fault? I fear it may have been. I think of her often. She was a delicate creature doing her best to teach children who really didn't want to be there. So I beg to ask forgiveness as I didn't really mean to bring attention to her reluctance to talk about human reproduction, but who does want to talk about that particularly?
No.
She actually was asked to cast pearls before swine. Yours, Vera. Well, that's a very interesting tale because instinctively your heart goes out to the lovely Miss Goodling because she's doing her best.
She is.
With a bunch of young farmers there who probably just... Either, if they're not talking about pigs, they want to talk about something else. Anyway, what do we say, Suze, to Vera?
Oh, this is tricky for me because I do, you know, I'm kind of on Miss Goodling's side, and I feel like, yes, who wants to teach that? But she signed up for biology, didn't she? And that is in kind of the curriculum. And you know what? Vera's really brave. We should know about these things. These things should have been taught. And maybe she was a bit early in the 50s asking for all of that. But I think I am on Vera's side, and I am going to forgive her.
She wanted to know about the babies, love and marriage.
Exactly.
And obviously
that's
a very wholesome thing, Matthew, don't you think?
It is. I mean, is love and marriage on the biology curriculum?
I
don't think it is.
Isn't that what it's all about?
So I'm gonna say forgiven, because I agree with Suze. Doesn't sound like she was well suited to being a biology teacher, really. This comes up. It's going to come up. You can't get too embarrassed and then take 2 weeks off work because somebody asked you about it. Also, my instinct is that the young farmers knew exactly what was going on. I mean, they're dealing with the pigs who were all involved as well. So, in a way, aren't we all? Yes, I don't know where that went. For all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
So how are the pigs involved?
There's pigs, because they all know about the pigs, don't they? Because one of them knew all about the pigs, so they know all about the rest of it.
I don't understand.
So the pigs are doing it as well, is my point. I was trying
bacon.
To pussyfoot around this, but you two have drawn it out of me. So, yeah, so because they know about the pigs, then they probably know about the humans.
That's what you're thinking.
I
think they probably know about the humans because they're teenage boys.
Yeah. Mind you, it was the 50s, wasn't it?
It was the 50s. No one knew anything then. It was all guesswork.
Yeah, it's amazing
anything happened.
It's amazing we're all here now.
Yes.
Centuries.
Lots of forgiveness on the people's verdict for Vera, including this very educational one.
And Ben says, forgiven. FYI, gestation period for a pig is 3 months, 3 weeks and 3 days.
Is that right?
You're welcome.
That's quite informative.
It is, actually.
Really,
isn't it?
It could also be entirely made up, but thank you very much for that. And that is that's your lot for this week's Confessions podcast. If you've been inspired by any of them, let us know your tale, please. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. First of all, though, let's go to Brother Matt for this week's surprising and secret code phrase.
Yes, and the code phrase this week is burning big bloomers. Burning big bloomers is your code phrase to contact Simon Mayo on social media.
Also Matt
this and week. Matt Williams.
Don't bother contacting me.
So Matt's on X, but also you can contact me with Threads or Blue Sky. Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or Simon Mayo on Blue Sky, but obviously Matt on Twitter is also fine.
Yep.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please do leave us a 5-star review to keep Matt happy and share the podcast with your friends and your neighbours all in the same shower at the same time.
Yes.
We'll be back next week with another fresh batch of confessions. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Bye-bye.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye.
Holly's still not here.
Outrageous.
And I'm Simon. Thank you very much for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.